everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from Mobile Local Church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Hallen, as always, joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
There are so many critical issues in the life of a church. They're deep theological issues. They're deep issues about preaching. They're deep issues about relationships and ministry and small groups and can go on and on. And then every now and then there's today's podcast about announcements. Now, I don't want to trivialize this because really we emphasize again and again, not only on this podcast, but in the blog post and in many other venues, how important communication is.
Exactly.
That redundancy is important. Making certain that you get things before the people in churches is important. Making certain that you have multiple venues to get before the people. And so I don't want to trivialize when we start talking about announcements and worship services, but I do want to address it because there really are some good ways to do it. There's some neutral ways to do it, and then there are some not so good ways to do it.
And we've talked about churches and using social media, their websites, but the main way that you can communicate stuff to your people is through the announcements from a pulpit on Sunday morning.
Yeah, the announcements typically grab the most attention because you're there, you're physically present, the people are tuned in, they're listening. If it's on a website, they may or may not go there. If it's on social media, they may not see it in their feed. There are a lot of reasons. You may even directly email them, but our inbox are so full with so much junk.
And the bulletin.
And the bulletin, people may not see it there. And so when you talk about announcements in worship services, you got to be very clear that it needs to be something of highest priority. But we're going to talk about that, and we'll get to that as we go through these.
And that kind of comes to number one, though, but more church leaders do not think they should be part of the worship service.
Okay, now let's define the worship service, though. From my point of view, the worship service is when there is some type of indication of a call to worship, even if it's not a formal call to worship. The music begins or a prayer begins. It's something different than people just mingling around. Mm-hmm. People are now quiet and attentive and focused on everything. And from that point of view, most of those with whom we've spoken, again, it's not a scientific poll, it is more anecdotal. Most of those with whom we've spoken said, nah, I really don't want to put announcements in that part of the worship service. And so I want to be clear when I say it's not a part of the worship service. I'm talking about that part where everyone is focused, the music and the prayer and the preaching is taking place. It's not talking about before or after the service.
Basically, from call to worship to benediction.
Yeah, if you use that nomenclature.
Yeah.
That could be from the first song to the last prayer, whatever you want to say, or from the first song to the last song. But from the beginning to the end of the worship service itself. The point is, many people say that the announcements, many of these leaders say, announcements are not part of the worship time, and so it shouldn't be a part of the worship service.
And most of those that say that are large churches, and that's number two.
Yeah, let's define large churches, first of all. There are many different definitions. Most of the time, mega church is used for churches 2,000 and up.
Yep.
Although you and I were recently at a Lutheran mega church conference, and that was 1,000 in attendance and up. I am specifically referring to churches that are about 700 in attendance and up. Usually, that would be about the top 5% of churches in America.
Everybody would agree that's a pretty large church.
By almost any standards. And so when you're talking about that definition of a large church, these are the churches that hardly ever have any type of announcement during the worship service. It may come at another point, but it will not come during the flow of the worship service itself.
And it may be used kind of in a conjunction with something else rather than a specific set aside time for announcements.
Sure, absolutely.
Like with a greeting or with the offertory or something like that.
Absolutely.
And conversely, smaller churches are more likely to include them.
Yeah, I used in the original blog post of this one, I used the number 200 in attendance and lower as a smaller church. But the reality of it is, once you get in the 200 attendance percentage wise, you're a larger church.
Medium to large size church.
So, but just for definitions, 200 and under, they are the churches that are more likely to have an announcement during the worship service. Now, what do I mean by during the worship service? Let's say there's been a prayer. There may have been a song sung by a praise group or a hymn, congregational hymn. And then somebody walks up to the pulpit and they start making announcements. Mm-hmm. I was in my mother-in-law's church in South Alabama a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And right before the sermon, the pastor says, "We got any announcements?" All of a sudden, someone
called for announcements.
And someone,
raise your hand.
Someone from, actually, they didn't. They just started talking. Oh, they had to point on different people. And so this choir member started talking about an announcement, and then someone from the back pew had an announcement. Took about 7 to 10 minutes, and then he then decided, in the context of all those announcements, that something needed to be voted on instead of announced.
Oh.
And so he called for a business meeting at the end of the service. So
that's efficient.
That's efficient. Everybody that he thinks needed to be there was there. So we're going to vote on it. So all of that took place in the small rural church in South Alabama. Those were announcements that were magnified.
So you went to a church service and a business meeting broke out.
Yeah, but I didn't stay for the business meeting. But
okay. You had to get to cafeteria.
It's my in-laws' church, so I was happy to go there. Great folks there.
Number four, one of the things that I think we talked about, if it's not in the service, number four is probably where it is, and it's video or projected announcements have grown as churches have grown.
Yeah, it used to be that to have a video announcement would be someone putting up some kind of slide on a overhead projector.
And handwritten slide.
or maybe a large font type slide. But now there is so much quality material out there to be able to do announcements. There's an organization, I don't remember the name, and that's not that important, but this organization is all that they do is announcements for churches. I was in a church in the Chattanooga area not too long ago, and I'm just blown away with the quality of the announcements. Like it was a newscaster.
Because it was.
That was up there. And I said, gosh, y'all really got some people that are very eloquent and can speak very, very well. And he just laughed. He said, she's not a member of our church.
Yeah.
We send this to the service. And she gets up and she makes the announcements on this big screen. And I did not know that kind of service existed. But There are many ways. I've been in many churches where staff members and others before the service, actually put up announcements and announce it as a video or some other type of media.
Yeah, that's what we do at our church. We have what we call the Mount Juliet Minute.
Oh, cool.
Which is on the front end, and it's the first thing we do, and then after that's done, that's basically when the service starts.
Okay, is it a minute?
Roughly. I don't think it's really a minute. I think they just call it a minute so people it's just going to be 60 seconds, and it's usually about a minute and a half or two. It may be just a minute. I don't know. I'm usually not in there for it because
I don't guess you want to call it a moment. So
that Juliet moment.
That might have other connotations as well.
Number five, with greater frequency, pastors limit making announcements unless there are a major or visional issue.
Yeah, again, I like sometimes to speak in illustrations or examples. I was talking to a pastor this past week, and the pastor was talking about some events that he was announcing during the sermon.
Oh.
And I said, why are you announcing events during a sermon?
That's a major issue.
Well, it was the major vision for the church.
That'll do it.
And he said, in context with his vision, here are some of the directions that we're going to go.
Yeah.
And so he actually said, this one will begin on this date, and this is what will be involved. And so it was a major, and it was definitely a visual emphasis because it was directly related to the vision. In that case, it was probably appropriate for the pastor to stand up and to make that announcement. So more and more congregations are limiting it to those major visual issues if the pastor is doing that announcement.
Number six is that more congregations limit announcements before or during the worship services to those issues that affect most or all of the congregants. That's kind of an outflow of number five.
It is, but this has to do with who is the audience. If there is an announcement that there is going to be a personnel committee meeting, why do that to an entire congregation?
10 people probably.
Yeah, 8, 6, 10 people, whatever the case may be. Why make that announcement to them? Send them an email. Make a phone call to them.
Call Larry and Joe and Jen. And, you know,
exactly.
Take care of it.
So if it's involving a relatively small number of the church members or the guests or those who might attend whatever that event may be or whatever the announcement may be, don't do that during this time. This should be for most of the congregants, most of the members, if not all of them.
Now, number seven is one that you covered on a blog post a little bit ago. It was on January 21st, I believe, was the what not to say to your pastors before they go to preach. And this was one of them. And it's that many pastors are still asked to make announcements right before the worship service begins.
Yeah, that was in the context of both a blog post, and we'll actually have it in the context of upcoming podcast. And it's basically where people say, Pastor, you need to announce this. You need to be able to say this, and this is very important, right before the pastor is scheduled to preach. And as a result, and we'll talk about this more. We'll expand on it in a future podcast that I thought will end up being one of our more humorous podcasts to talk about these things about what the pastor has to deal with right before the preaching time. But many times people say, would you announce this during the service? And so the pastor's handed a slip of paper, the pastor, something is whispered in his ear, or the list could go on and on, and the pastor has one of two decisions. Decision number one is, I make it and I set a precedent and I've got to do announcements from here on. Or number two, I say I can't do that right now, and you potentially offend the person who made the request. So in either situation, it is difficult for the pastor. So particularly in smaller churches, pastors are often asked to make announcements right before the worship service begins. But I go back to the church where I was with my in-laws in South Alabama. It wasn't that the pastor was distracted.
You don't have to worry about that.
No, he just said, y'all got any announcements you want to make? And they came from different places of the worship center at that time, and we ended up having a business meeting afterwards. But more and more pastors will talk about, hey, I wish that someone wouldn't ask me to make an announcement right before I get up there. Again, more contextual, more in the smaller churches than in the larger churches.
You bring up the pastor asking for announcements. There's also, I know, a tradition in mostly rural and smaller churches of birthdays, anniversaries, things like that being announced, or even people coming up singing happy birthday to them. That still goes on in a lot of churches.
Yeah, and same thing in this particular church. Yeah. Who's had a birthday this past week, or maybe they might do it for an entire month. Who's had an anniversary? One of the reasons that I was there was because it was my in-law's 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And so they made a big deal of
that. As well they should. 60 years. That's fantastic.
60th wedding anniversary. And so that was part of the announcements, and they acknowledged them. And if I recall correctly, we sang happy anniversary to them, to the tune of happy birthday. Would you like to hear me sing it?
No. We're trying to build listeners here.
I didn't think I was that bad, but I'll let you continue and let me continue to talk, but not sing.
Number eight, pastors also receive pressure from different groups of individuals to make certain that their announcements are made.
Yeah.
This goes back to that number seven as well. So
it does, but this is more about what announcements are made in priority. Let's just take this as an illustration. Let's suppose that you're in a church running about 500, a larger church, definitely a larger church. And let's say that you are allocating, like you said, the Mount Juliet minute. Let's say that you're going to allocate maybe 3 minutes before the service to make announcements. You got 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. The decision then has to be made, what are we going to announce? And who is going to decide what we're going to announce?
Ooh.
Because every week there is a list of priorities. This men groups wants to talk about this outing they're doing. The student ministry is doing this. The children's ministry is doing this. The deacons, the elders have this emphasis that they want to make. The pastor and staff have their particular emphases. The list could go on and on and on and on. And so the question becomes, what announcements do you make?
Mm-hmm.
I know that in many churches, the staff themselves make the decision on the announcements during the week before the service.
Yeah.
And so they decide what's going to be said or not said, and then they're responsible communicating it to any particular church members affected adversely, or those who, we're going to do this announcement for you. So more people, more pastors are receiving pressure. I've got to make certain that you do this announcement for me. Now, the illustration I gave in the blog post that prompted this particular podcast is that one pastor told me that a church member got mad at him because he did not announce that his daughter, the church member's daughter, was named salutatorian of her senior high school class.
If she'd only been valedictorian.
Well, and this was not a small town either. There were several high schools, and it was a difficult situation. If you name one salutatorian, then you have to name the valedictorian, and then you would have to do that for every school where you have a church member connected. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of those situations where there's pressure to talk about certain announcements. Let me give you one more example. Many churches have outside groups that meet in the church facilities. Mm-hmm. Usually they could be very good ministries, very good community
Mops,
groups.
Grief care,
AA,
divorce recovery, AA, things like that. Yeah.
What do you do about that? Do you then make that a part of your announcements because they're using the facilities of the church, but they're not necessarily a ministry of the church? Mm-hmm. I know that that is an issue that many church leaders are facing right now. And I know that many of them are having to decide, are we going to be the announcement vehicle for those who use our church facilities? Yeah. And if so, what are the parameters we're going to put on that? And if we have someone else who uses our facility, what are we going to do about that? Those are not the types of questions for which we have answers, but those are the realities when we're starting to deal with announcements in the worship service.
And likely a lot of these priorities are given to things that are, like we mentioned earlier, major visional issues or issues that involve a majority of the church.
Exactly. I do know of one church, and it's a church actually in this area that has a dynamic parachurch ministry that meets in their facilities. Mm-hmm. But because there are so many of the church members who are connected to that parachurch ministry, they treat it like it's one of their own ministries. Mm-hmm. And so when announcement time comes, they announce that here is the meeting time for this particular ministry, or here is the time that we're going to have this emphasis on this particular ministry. So as a result, this church really includes this group that meets in the facilities as a part of their church ministries, and thus they are in the announcements.
And number nine, I think, is kind of the reason that this is such a hot issue is that most church leaders believe that the retention rate of announcements by members is low.
Yeah, that goes back to our original statement that where the retention rate usually takes place is if you announce it during the worship service or if you announce it around the worship service, mm-hmm. beginning or the end, if there's a video or someone who stands up during the worship time. And that is true. The retention rate is going to be the highest if it is actually made near beginning, end, preferably not during a corporate worship time. And that's what most leaders know. Yeah. They understand that that is the reality, and so therefore they want their announcement in that worship service mm-hmm. or before that worship service or at the end of that worship service, because they know that there will be more people paying attention than if it's on the website or if it's in a church bulletin or if it's sent as an email, or the list could go on and on.
And it also gives it weight. I mean, there's gravity to the announcements that are made from the pulpit.
Well, and especially if it's the pastor making the announcements.
Yeah.
If it's someone else who happens to go to the pulpit to make the announcements, it'll be heard. But when the pastor makes the announcement, the pastor has that priority and that type of emphasis and leadership that the people are really listening.
And that would also go, you know, in the secular workplace. If you announce something in chapel versus if I got up in chapel and announced something, people probably wouldn't even pay attention. You wouldn't even know I was on stage. You get up there. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Again, that's the titular leadership position. The person who is the leader of that organization, that is the one that is going to get the most focus and the most attention. You boil all this down, Jonathan, and announcements in worship service may seem like a trivial issue, but when you start putting it in the context of how are you communicating your vision, what are you choosing to make a priority in your church, where are the announcements placed according to that priority, all of a sudden is not nearly as trivial as it may seem on the surface, because it then becomes one of your decision points for major communication issues. And that is one of the reasons that we have talked about announcements in the worship service, not because it's just one of those irritant issues, but because we really think it's important on how the church communicates, and they need to decide how to do it.
And one thing that the churches can use to communicate, we've mentioned it, is the technology. Use of technology seems to increase that awareness and increase the importance of announcements, whether that be through the video announcements that you mentioned, or PowerPoints pre or post worship service, or even throughout the sanctuary or the worship center in the church facility itself, through the use of closed circuit televisions and things like that.
Yeah, let's go back to that time when you and I were in the Chattanooga church and the announcements were made by this professional that we didn't know was a professional on video. Do you remember the first thing that she said? First of all, the announcements were at the end of the service. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first thing she said?
Nope.
See, that shows your retention rate. I remember it. The first thing she said was, "Thank you for that message, Dr. Rayner."
Oh.
She had already been told who was going to preach the message. And so it was like, hey, She heard the message. It was pre-recorded during the week. And then she began to make highlight announcements. And again, because I'm not a member of the church, and the only reason I remember it is because she said my name. If she'd said thank you, Jonathan.
She was talking to you, man.
Yeah. If she had said thank you, Jonathan Howell, for being here, you probably would have remembered it. But the point was, it was at the end of the service, and someone was really making a connection. And they said, this has been our emphasis, and we're going to continue to talk about this topic and this vision, and you're going to hear more about it. And they were going through 40 days of revival, mm-hmm. and that was their emphasis.
Yeah. Today's podcast has been brought to you by revitalizedchurches.com, bringing together videos, books, and other resources from today's top pastors, leaders, and authors. RevitalizedChurches.com is a premier online destination for church revitalization and online consultations. Visit RevitalizedChurches.com today for your free download of 114 Things You Need to Know About Church Revitalization by Tom Rainer. That'll do it for this week's episode. Dr. Rainer, any final closing thoughts?
Well, let's continue to look at this topic about announcements, but even broader than that, let's continue to look at the topic of communication. And I think, Jonathan, one day in the future, both on the TomRainer.com blog site and at Rainer on Leadership, we need to really focus upon this issue of communication and what's the best yep. way to get things across, because announcements are a subset of it, although they are an important subset.
Thanks for joining us again on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at TomRainer.com.